Intervju Radija Študent.
Arne Hendriks, človek, ki želi zmanjšati človeka. S 50 centimetri višine bi potrebovali le 2-5% sedanjih virov in če je 20. stoletje temeljilo na rasti, bi 21. morda lahko na pomanjševanju, pove Hendriks o svojem projektu Neverjetno skrčen človek, ki ga je prejšnji teden predstavil v galeriji Kapelica in ki smo ga recenzirali v današnjih finih umetnostih. V Amsterdamu živeči umetnik, raziskovalec in zgodovinar, katerega raziskovanje je na oddelku Next Nature na Tehnični univerzi v Eindhovenu usmerjeno zlasti v raziskovanje implikacij nanotehnologij, svoje umetniško snovanje umešča na sečišče znanosti in politike. Njegovo spekulativno raziskovanje druži znano in neznano, mogoče in nemogoče, in je, če si izposodimo Hewittovo razumevanje umetnosti, prostor vadbe še neizumljenih socialnih, družbenih in političnih odnosov. Biologistično razreševanje nekaterih temeljnih parametrov politike, družbe in ekonomije, bodi si vprašanja ekološke krize, bodi si vprašanja lakote, se zdi vendarle nekoliko redukcionistično. Namesto regulacije populacije, biopolitika zareže direktno v telo, v njegovo krčenje na 50 cm višine. Ob strani pa pusti zlasti vprašanja distribuiranja moči in v nadaljevanju razporejanja bogatstva. Ideja, enako kož bi nahranila 100 majhnih ljudi, tako morda potegne ta kratko v premisleku o centrih moči in zgoščanju bogatstva okrog njih. Na sledi redukcionizma smo reducirali tudi naš pogovor z umetnikom iz Q&A na samo A, ki je razporejen v nekaj tematskih sklopov. Obsesija družbe z rastjo in ekonomske implikacije zmanjšanja človeka, možgani in obnašanje materije, odnosnice umetnost družba in umetnost politika, pojavljanje novih struktur in prostor umetnosti kot prostor vadbe, manjšanje kot koncept povezovanja.
When you shrink, your weight drops dramatically, but also the other way around. So to illustrate it, if a body becomes 10% taller, the weight of the same body increases with 33%. A 20% increase in height is a 73% increase in weight. We've increased our volume so immensely over the last years that we just put a lot of more pressure on our resources. Now, if you transport 1 kilogram with 4,000 kilometers, it costs X amount of petrol or oil. If you transport 100 kilograms, it costs way, way more. So the idea to shrink is that we would just shrink into a world of abundance. If we would be 50 centimeters, we would only weigh about 2 kilograms. We would only need about 200 calories a day, maybe 300. Some people say 500. It depends. I mean, our metabolism might quicken up, speed up, but still, it would be an enormous advantage. So that's the general idea. Also, the idea of these astronauts for NASA is also that every kilogram of weight that you have to put into orbit costs $10,000. So if you can take 1 kilo off, That's you have $10,000 in your hand, and also NASA has to think about their budgets, of course. So this is a serious research for them, how to cut down on weight. But also these astronauts would need less food, they would need less water. All these sort of things add up. So size is really becoming a very important topic in a world in which we start to experience the first signs of scarcity between now and the next 25 years. Well, they're thinking, of course, all the time about growing. This society is obsessed with growth. And because science is a function of society, science itself has become obsessed with growth. So the actual science within science that people are working on the idea of shrinking are maybe just with NASA and almost nothing else. On the other hand, because they are obsessed with growth, you can almost switch around some of that research that's been done in science and think, okay, but if I would want to become smaller, how would that? How can I filter from your research, which is about, for instance, tackling the challenges of dwarfism? For instance, there are, of course, more than 300 different kinds of dwarfism, I think, in the world. And of course, they see this as illnesses that they have to cure. And so they want to understand the process that leads to this form of dwarfism, or actually the people staying smaller. So they know the process, just they, in their minds, it is something negative. And so for me, I have to flip it around. And maybe that is, let's say, the artistic or the speculative moment in which I flip something around and I say, no, it's not about knowing and then preventing or neutralizing or doing the opposite. It's actually trying to go even more and deeper and embracing the idea of dwarfism and seeing how we could have a healthy form so that people could actually benefit from it as a whole. That when we would shrink, that our head would become smaller and our brain size would become smaller and they would lose their intelligence. And of course, that's something nobody wants to let go of. Also, I don't want that. But there's a scientist, Donald Platt, who mentioned to me that it's very possible that individual cells could actually become smaller. And that would mean that our brain cells would be as many, just in a smaller size. And then it would basically be like a computer chip. When you are able to make them smaller, they also become faster because the distance traveled between the different points is shorter, so it's quicker. And so maybe our intelligence would even increase. On the other hand, if our brain becomes smaller and we have the same amount of or we have a lesser amount of cells, then of course we would have to let go of some of our intelligence. But we don't really know how the brain works still. It's still one of these things. Maybe we don't need it. Maybe we don't need large parts of the brain, and maybe some of these futurists, they say, yeah, well, you will be connected to the cloud, you know, this this singularity idea where our brains and the cloud, it's all this one thing, maybe, you know, maybe in 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 years, such a thing could become a reality, I don't know. Physiologically, I mean, let's say our metabolism would speed up, probably. Smaller animals have higher metabolisms. Also because you need to stay warm, so it needs to burn energy more. So maybe you need to eat relatively more to, let's say, if you would be our size, but still a lot less. I mean, everything changes. Scale is one of these things where if you shrink something, at some point everything changes. I showed yesterday at the lecture here, and I showed the example of a tomato soup. Just to experiment, we made a tomato soup that was just a drop, and we put it on a hydrophobic surface. And it was kept by it was kept to itself by its surface tension. So the water in the soup stayed a beautiful round drop. You can imagine that if you shrink down to this sort of level, that matter starts to behave differently. But also matter within the body starts to behave differently. So, you know, I mean, you can fantasize about everything. And we have here, we call it Gollum Studio. It's just clay. But I invite people to just fantasize about what they would think happens to the body when it becomes 50 centimeter, and then the sum of all those fantasies that I'm already collecting them over some years, and I take photographs and we meld them into each other. We try to understand what sort of general fantasy people have about a 50 centimeter person, and slowly every time somebody makes creates one of these fantasies, the quality of the image sort of becomes more, how do you say it, scientific even in a way, because it's just this sort of a general image. Yeah, no, I think it's right. I mean, if you don't want to label it in those ways, let's say if we don't want to label it as an art project, it's hard. Eh? Some people, when you say it's an art project, then they say, oh, it's art. Oh, okay, it's art, whatever, you know, and then they enjoy it or they feel it's almost entertaining or whatever, and then they stop to... So I find it hard to really enter into this artistic debate when it's about this project. Let's just say that it's a question, and the question is there. I'm now just an agent of this question, researching it over the 5 years. And the question has a connection to all those fields. And it's not up to me to make it outright political in that sense. It's up to the politicians and people that have this political urge to make it political. So it's a very, it's basically the whole project is an invitation for people to start dragging this into their own thinking and into their own practice. It's not an authorship work. It's not about, getting all that stuff here and saying, look what I did, and putting my finger and then basically killing the butterfly because I put a pin to it and then put it on the wall. Not at all, it's just ideas. And as you can see around you, all the ideas are in books, they are in scientific texts, they are in pictures that I found on the internet. I just, how do you say it, recycle or represent or collect or open up all these ideas that are already there. I just try to, I mean, maybe the artistic part is that I try to put them all together in the same moment. And the most powerful thing about, of course, the artistic point of view is that you are able to, through metaphors and through sort of this open field, to connect things that seem... That may seem that they cannot be connected. I can look at all these things and I can say, well, yeah, it is just a fish, but maybe this fish is a human being, and maybe this human being is me, and I can just, it rolls on and on and on. And that's something that, of course, politicians and scientists, they should also, or can also learn from. That things are less fixed than they think, and that... maybe they can borrow sometimes that free space of art to, yeah, just change their direction a little bit or a lot sometimes. What the whole project is about. It's a very holistic thing. I don't know what to say to it. It's such a large topic in that sense. I think what I want to be more than anything is I want to be generous to all sorts of connections that can be made. That's maybe the thing I can say about it most. I'm hoping that it can be a lens or something for this redivision. Finding an ecological balance, but also a humanitarian balance again. All these things that are somehow leading to the major problems that we're experiencing in this society today can be viewed from this angle. And then there will be some sort of new space for reflection. And that's, I guess, my answer to this is that I hope that it can add something. And instead of being very confrontational only, also find a new shared space for even opposing views or something. Because it's of course, normally you would try to change everything around you to overcome your problems, except for yourself. So it's again, it just switches around the point of view, and because it switches around, it kind of confuses everything. So it even confuses, let's say, the haves and the have-nots. Everybody is confused in that sense, and in this confusion, new structures will arrive, hopefully better ones. It just depends on how far you want to take the scenario, how far in the future you want to see yourself with this. What happens if we're really 50 centimeters, then... basically world hunger would be finished, but are there not other systems coming into place and it will still be the same? And you just have this a window of opportunity in your mind even only now, where you see, well, if one chicken feeds 100 people, then it will be very easy for anybody anywhere on the planet to have that one chicken. Whereas now it seems it's not so easy for everybody to have that one chicken. And even thinking about now, in relation to that it would be very easy to have that chicken in the future when you're 57, makes it very strange that it is so difficult for people not to have it. It just makes you think about distribution of wealth in general, in this time also. So it's not just a lens on the future, it also becomes a mirror for us in the present. Because you create that position where, hey, if we would do this, then we would be in this situation. Why are we not in this situation right now? Because there are all sorts of things happening now that we could maybe alter or change, and it would be a lot better, of course. We know. I mean, basically all the problems we have are solvable in one way or another with some of the scenarios that are out there. But we're not doing it, you know. And why are we not doing it? So, for instance, yesterday I invited an artist from here, and she, Samira, and she, I asked her just, you know, what would it take you to make this change, to become smaller? Just ask yourself. And then she started to, yeah, she started to put on this makeup, and she started to think like a fish. And it was very interesting to see the sort of transformation in what does it take mentally to really make a change. So she was adopting or appropriating certain shamanistic principles where she becomes the point between this world and the next world in which we would be smaller. But the same is scientists all over the world that are working with these zebrafish, for instance, these genetic model organisms. They basically do the same. They are projecting their fantasies on top of these fish, and they want to go to another place where they would, I don't know something about the gene, and they would want to alter it and maybe take out some illnesses or so they're projecting. So the scientists, when they put on their white coats, they also go through these sort of shamanistic moments where they envision and they use certain attributes like the fish to get to that point. So it was very good to see, let's say, these connections. And all these connections you can see in this place, in this, I don't know if it's an exhibition or it's just a studio. I don't know exactly what this space is, but when I just have to be here and think about all these things and try to make those connections. Because, of course, also for me it's very difficult to envision really being 50 centimeters. I'm not the one that knows, and you know, I'm a 195. You know, I'm very far away from the one who knows. So I also constantly have to basically force myself to want it, and then maybe at some point find moments where I think, hey, I really want it. And to then make pearls out of those moments, I suppose. At this moment, we manifest ourselves the way we do because of our desires, for good or for bad reasons, biological desires or maybe culturally programmed desire, for whatever. Yeah? But these desires lead to a certain manifestation of ourselves, even physically. So without all these kind of post-human theories that I follow it and I find it very interesting, but I'm trying to basically come back into my body. I don't know what this body is that's sitting here. I don't even know what makes it function, or how do you say it, what makes it move, where all these desires come from. And I just want to have a sort of a clear focus and become much more connected through this desire to become smaller. You know, I want to connect again to the earth. So I want to fit in again. Like we've of course, I mean, maybe we're not so much post-human as more like post-planetary. We really kind of, we have already pushed ourselves off this planet, and we are living in a stolen time, right? We are sort of, we are eating the goose with the golden eggs, we say. We're cutting it and seeing what's inside, and there's nothing there. Whereas the Earth is constantly producing all these riches for us. It's an amazing place, of course. But we have actually said, yes, it's an amazing place, fantastic, now let's rob it. And then we will move to Mars or whatever planet somewhere else. And we do go. We will be able to save ourselves. Well, I don't think so. I think we are here. This place has designed us. We are part of it. And somehow we need to come back. And we need to find our place in the ecology again. And that's more. So maybe it's even pre human in the humanistic tradition, or in the not humanistic, but like say it's pre-post in the sense that it doesn't isolate humanity anymore from Earth. So it wants to go back and not move on the way we are, sort of with the way we regard humanity at the moment. Shrinking is one of the main strategies because it will also involve it involves being very brave, of course, just to want that, but also a sense of modesty where we start to understand that if we, you know, we've been invited to basically, well, it's, you know, it's poetic language, but we've been invited in this world to live here. It's an amazing thing that happened to us. We have been presented with conscience, which is fantastic, so we can actually enjoy our presence here, and then we start to, you know, destroy it. And maybe this act of modesty that would be shrinking and would be becoming smaller and fitting back into the ecology again, just coming in a balance, is that's my future image, where we are coming back. And but it's not back, of course, the way it was 10 or 20 or 100,000 years ago. It's another back. It's just, it's the balance, it's the connection again. I don't know. More than Foucault, I'm very inspired by these ideas of Georges Bataille that really is looking for this moment of immanence where you are part of everything again. I think he describes it more like a drop of water in the ocean. That doesn't really appeal to me so much, but it's more just to understand that you belong here and that the tree and that the chicken or whatever, that you are all one. And actually, that's the message of DNA, right? It tells us that we are all one. And I think the shaman knows this, but the scientist doesn't. They see that DNA is something that you can, cut up and. But basically, what it actually tells us is that we are one organism, and we have different shapes and different, you know, ways of moving or whatever and eating. But it's just one thing, and we have that. That's a kind of a strongly felt desire. I don't know. I think maybe that's what when we are talking about love and we have all these very strange ways of dealing with love as a humanity, maybe this is. Maybe when we get to that point, then we will know. Aha, okay, maybe that's love. You know, when you're one again, in that sense. So it is, I don't know if it's romantic or if it's just the way it should be. I don't know. This is the thing. But it's, behind the shrinking is the desire to connect again.
Intervju je pripravila Alja Lobnik. Intervju Radija Študent.